We're back in our subject today again on submission and authority. So last week we just spent quite a bit of time talking about the areas we're dealing with submission in our own bodies, of bringing the flesh under, because the flesh is really, you know, I talked about it on Sunday also, is really what we're dealing with is we deal with the flesh, and working with the flesh is getting the flesh submitted to the inner man. And rather than we in allowing the flesh to do what it wants and allows it to dominate and rule, and how things that we can do. And one of the things is really is developing the inner man. Growing up spiritually is a huge part of overcoming the flesh and having our flesh in submission to the inner man. And so where the flesh doesn't dominate us and rule over us. And last week we had looked over in Colossians and read in Colossians where he said the Colossians, you know, doing all this outward stuff, doing all these things of don't eat, don't touch, don't taste. He said, you know, whether following, you know, certain people's religious days or holiday, well, doing all that kind of stuff, that doesn't make you spiritual doing that. That doesn't keep the flesh under. And so in other words, keeping the flesh under is not going to be done. The more rules and regulations that you follow is not going to help. That doesn't mean we don't have certain, there's guidelines of things. But it's like anything, you could get an extreme in anything. You could get into extremes on it. And this is one thing, is when you get into an extreme, you usually end up worse off than what you were without it. You can go both ways. I mean, I saw where, you know, like being raised under a very religious group of people, but then on the other side, you have people over here, they're so liberal, and they throw everything out. And I watched the church throw out so many good things that the groups had that they consider religious, but they weren't, everything they did wasn't bad. There was a lot they did that was good. And they threw it all out and then went too far over on the other side. And so they're no better off, you know, than the people, you know, that they went and thought were weird. And so understand always there is a middle of the road to this thing, to all of it. You don't want to get in. We're today we live in a society that is extremists. And things that they should be more extreme in, they're not. There's this, from the spirituality, they surely are not extreme in any way. But to the use of the flesh and doing things, we live in extremes on both sides. And like we talked about, you know, from the standpoint of diets and things, we're just so extreme today. You know, everybody's afraid of this and that and the other thing. And they're just, I mean, back years ago, and this goes back some, this is probably more years than I think. And I was thinking maybe it's about 4 or 5 years, but probably been longer, much longer than that. I don't know, see years pass, and sometimes I sit and try to, when did this happen? But I know exactly when it happened. I was out one day for a run, and I was out running. And I was on the back road over here running. I'll just never forget, just sort of minding your own business. I just meditating on some things, because the Lord had taught me to do meditation when I run. Don't focus on your body. Focus just meditation, and you run. And so I'm out just meditating. And just out of the clear blue, the Lord spoke to me and said, there's no such thing as health food. I mean, his voice said to me, just out of the inside of me, it just rose up and said, no such thing as health food. I thought, what on earth is that? What's that got to do? You know? And I just for, I don't know how long, it probably was only more than a few seconds, my mind was like, what on earth? I'm just thinking this when it said. And then it said, right again, no such thing as health food. And finally, I don't know if I said it out loud or inwardly, but I may have said it out loud, because I found out sometimes when the Lord talks to me, I'll say something back, and I just, because after the time's over, if I'm around other where other people can see me, I often wonder, gee, what did they think I was doing? Okay. Is that crazy man? They're talking to himself. I wasn't talking to myself. I do that, but I wasn't doing that then. But anyhow, I just said, well, what is this? What are you talking about? He said, there's no such things as health food. He said, if there was, you would need to sanctify it with prayer and the Word of God. And I never thought about it in that way. And you see, because people get over the idea that we have this health food. The whole thing is we have to know, we live in a tainted world. And we need to understand that we're in a tainted world. So when man puts their faith, and this is what a lot of people put their faith in something, they talk about having faith in God, but really what their faith is in is what they're doing, what they're eating, but their health is not, you know, trusting God concerning their health. You know, they can't, don't touch, don't taste, we can't eat this, we can't eat that. No, you have to have it just like this, or it has to be that. You're not, they said, this is bad for you, so you can't. You know, just like the things today. People go, you know, God said and told Noah, he said about eating the meat, he said, it's good. Loads of Christians and even ministers and spirit-filled ministers on their vegetarian diets, meat ain't good for you because scientists said it was. And God said it was good, but they say it's not. Well, it's number one, you know, they can't eat it. Because to them to eat it, they sin. Because they believe in their conscience that's wrong. They have a weak conscience. That's what Paul said, made a statement. He said that people that can't eat are weak in faith. He said people who can't eat, they're the strong ones out here and that stuff. He said they're weak in faith. And so we want to get over into things of understanding. That means don't mean we go to extremes. You eat, you know, just this or just that and nothing else. You know, there's things you need. Last time I checked, your body needs more than one thing. You know, God gave us all kinds of foods and there was purposes, I think, in them. I think it was good. So, I mean, there is a balance to it, but we're today so extreme on both sides. I mean, it just, you could get on the extreme in both sides. You know, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Sherry, but if you remember back in the 80s, these people used to go around with this stuff here. It's like, you can eat whatever you want and you just cast the calories out of it. I don't know if you remember. Oh, man, they had that stuff. Actually, that's literally going on. You can eat whatever you want. But you just cast the calories. People actually believe that. I mean, the first time I heard it, the first thing I thought about the person that said it, first we ought to cast the devil out of you, then we might get this thing straight. Cast the calories out of it. I often wonder this, how well did that work? I remember Kenneth Hagin tells the story of a woman came to him and she had a weight problem. She was at a prayer meeting and they told her they cast a spirit of gluttony out of her. And then told her she could eat anything she wanted, she'd be fine. He asked her, did it work? She said, nah, gain weight. Then they go back to those people and cast the spirit of stupid out of them. So there's always extremes out here. There always is extremes. I found out this is the best thing to do. If you learn to listen to the inner man, you'll find yourself being able to, you know, you can follow by what's on the inside. The things even you don't know, the Holy Spirit knows and He can bear witness things to you. And you know, there's certain things, you know, you need to understand this. People in themselves are different. And, you know, we have different desires and different tastes and different things like that, you know, and you know, because you get some people, well, you need to eat this and you need to eat that. There's one thing, as I learned, there's all kinds of other foods that you can get vitamins and minerals from. You don't have to eat what somebody else says you need to eat. You can get it through other means. You have to have this. You got to eat that. You know. And now, I'm a person that can, I eat, you know, I'm not a very picky eater. I like a lot of all kinds of things. Some people are just more picky. Now, you could get too picky and it wouldn't be good for your health. You can get too picky. And that wouldn't be, I've learned this over time and I've had other people try it. You can get yourself to almost learn to like almost anything, most things. You'll just make yourself eat it. Just make yourself eat it over time. Eventually you'll acquire a taste for it. I mean, just any culture's like that. You know, you take, like say when I was in Vietnam, you'd take certain things like Nuoc Ma and stuff that they'd eat. My God, you could smell it a mile away. And it, to me, it's like, oh, I never tasted it because I couldn't get past the smell. I thought I didn't need to have it to survive. So, you know, I can eat broccoli. Let me alone. I'll eat fish before it rots. I'll just eat it before it rots. We'll be happy. But they would do that. But, you know, their children loved it and ate it. Now, why did they? Because they were raised on it. That's what was put into them. They gained the taste for that. And so they just turned around and they ate that stuff. Now, they used to think stuff we ate was weird. But, you know, you over time. But I found there's numbers of things that I didn't like. And, you know, over the years, liver was something I didn't like and didn't eat. I decided I was going to learn to like liver. And so I would eat a little liver once in a while. I'd just eat it. After a while, it didn't bother me. Today, I like liver. But I had to start acclimating to do it. Now, it wasn't the most pleasant thing I ever did, starting doing that. But I just decided I was going to learn to like it and eat it. I don't know why I went. So, but you know, and one of the things that really helped me with was that I did that as a sinner, not as a saint. But those principles are spiritual principles. Because you can learn, and I learned to use those things to adapt. Even there are certain things sometimes spiritually we don't want to do. And maybe not like to do certain things. But once you put it into practice and put it into practice and put it, after a while, it's just natural for you to do it. It's not a huge hard thing to do. So, but learning to change yourself. But don't get into extremes. One of the biggest things, there's principles. If we're going to live in victory in this area in submission, there's things that the Bible tells us specifically that we're going to need to do. Number one is in the areas of faith. I don't know how you could practice. You can't change spiritually without using faith. Faith's the key to spiritual change and anything else. It's the key to your spiritual development. Without faith, you can't please God. And in other words, in everything we get, we receive. In other words, the things that we believe, we receive through faith. Things are changed in the natural. So in other words, if I want to bring my body into subjection, we talked about in use of the, where James said, if you control your tongue, you control your whole body. That principle is a principle of faith. The use of the tongue is a principle of faith. Sad to say, most of Christianity has either rejected that or doesn't even think of, no, it exists, that principle. They go, oh yeah, these people name it, claim it, and all this kind of stuff. That's what Jesus was. He named what he wanted. He told his disciples. You're like, we have the principle of Mark 11:23, where he said, assuredly I say to you. Now, assuredly, I've used this before, but assuredly, that word, if you look that up in the Greek and its usage, it's just like we would, when we used to go to court, which they don't do anymore, you just lay your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's exactly what Jesus would be saying. Surely, I'm telling you guys the truth. This is the principle that this operates in. This is how this works. He said, and whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me as I was reading that and said, you need to understand this. It's like, see, some people say, well, that's a mountain. The Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me that people would say, oh, that's just a mountain. He said, what's your body made out of? It's made of the same dirt that mountain's made out of. That's where it came from. It's about, and this is what the Lord showed me many years ago on the areas of faith, of where people would pray about things, which is fine to pray about it, but the Lord taught me a way to do it that is much simpler and more effective than praying about it, is speaking to things. And the Lord said this to me one day. He told me, did you notice that Jesus never prayed about animate objects? Jesus never prayed about storms. He talked to it as a physical thing. He spoke to them. You look at the things that Jesus spoke to and said things to. And here with telling the disciples, you say to the mountain, you talk to the mountain. He spoke to the tree. He taught them that you could take a tree and pull it out by the roots and throw it somewhere if you want to cast it out in the ocean. You can do those things. In other words, animate objects in the earth can be changed by the voice out of, now, but we find out how it's by your spirit, the inner man, saying what's on the inside, not saying what's on the outside, talking about what's on your spirit on the inside. You have to believe it, have no doubt, but Jesus said it would come to pass. So that principle alone, it's the principle of faith. Now, prayer operates from the same thing. In prayer, though, we pray and believe we receive something. But when the Lord told me about that principle, I began to put that into use. And there's lots of things I never even pray about that deal with things that I say. I just speak and I say. When it comes to my body, I don't pray about my body. I speak concerning my body. Why? Because it's a physical thing. And James proved that by what he said. He said, if I can control my tongue, I can control my whole body. So in other words, saying the right things has to do with your body. I believe there's a lot of things about our body, and I sure haven't risen to perfection in this thing. But I'm sure there's many things that we should have probably bring under control concerning our body and its dealing in the earth. I think we're more affected by things than we realize around us. Because, and things that do affect us, we never say anything about. There's two. I look at it this way. I think there's a lot of things we think we have to put up with, we don't. So I'm not going to knock anybody on this thing. I'm not knocking. But most Christianity is ignorant of these things. They don't know about them. And is learning from the natural standpoint of speaking to natural things to change. And getting it inside of ourselves, what we want to happen concerning health and things like that. I speak concerning my body. I don't ever pray per se like we people talk about praying. I don't pray about it because I can say about that. I can speak about it. And using that principle. And that is the foundation of the principle of faith. There's things we pray for and there's things, that's fine. But we don't have to. We can speak to our body and tell our body what it should do. And as many times in our body, in reactions to things. You know, sometimes your flesh wants to be afraid of certain things. You have to learn to tell your body what it's going to do and what it's allowed to do and what it's not allowed to do. You know, there's different. Now, number one is one thing. Sometimes people have fear and concern. They're just fleshly fears, things to the unrenewed mind. It isn't their own spirit. Their spirit ain't afraid. And I know with dealing with things sometimes, I've looked in the outside, the difficulty I was having on the outside dealing with something, but when I finally got where I could see the inside, I realized on the inside was not concerned or worried about it at all. And that's what Kenneth Hagin said. Kenneth Hagin said, you can bring things to pass by the inner man that the outer man in your mind has a terrible time with the whole time it's going on, but if you'll stick with the inner man on the inside, you can bring it to pass. I know exactly what he's talking to. There's things I've brought to pass already. I'll tell you what, I fought in my mind and in my flesh the whole time the thing was going on. But I did bring to pass because I knew what was on the inside of me. And my inside was okay about what was happening. It knew I had the answer. It knew. But the outer man just having trouble with it. And the mind was having trouble with it. And that's why it's knowing yourselves, spirit, soul, and body. Knowing what's going on in your body, understand what's going on in your soul, the mind, will, and emotion, and understand what's going on in your flesh. In your spirit. You need to know what's going on in your spirit. You're a born again Christian. The real power that you have is on the inner man, and you need to be able to divide the three. The Bible's talking about, and Paul wrote about, you know, the dividing asunder of the soul, you know. So what we want to do is be able to know what's happening in my mind, what's happening in my thinking, going on. Now, what's happening in what's my flesh saying, and what's on the inside? Many times people don't think that they're in faith, but are actually in faith. Their inner man is believing God, but they are yielded to the outer man or to an unrenewed mind. And they're trying to get in faith when that isn't what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to be doing is renewing either their mind or bringing their flesh under. And what they're trying to, they're acting like, well, I'm just having trouble believing God. You're having trouble believing God. Your inner man is believing God. It is your outer man that you're dealing with. It's your mind you're dealing with. Understanding that. And see, sometimes people don't get that. And they think they're fighting in a battle with their inner man. It's not their inner man at all. Their inner man's believing right. Their inner man knows right. And the inner man wants to carry the thing out. And what they keep looking at. And see, that's where the Lord dealt with me. This goes back years ago. This goes back as a young Christian, probably after born again a couple years. And when the Lord spoke to me about, I was going through a very difficult time. One of the things I was doing was, in fact, I just talked to an individual about this, doing the same thing. Sad to say, he has been taught, and they used an Old Testament scripture, you know, that heart, speaking a man's heart from the Old Testament, saying that his heart, you know, your heart always wants to, what's your heart? Something about always wants to do iniquity, it's evil, the heart of man. And they don't realize that what they're saying, that scripture was talking about unsaved men. They were all unsaved. Nobody was saved. So the heart always wanted to do evil. And why? Because that was the nature of man. But now we go to the New Testament, you won't find that said about the believer. Never says that. If a person's heart, and I had to stop him and say, if your heart always wants to do evil, you're not saved. Let's get it straight right now. You ain't going to heaven if you're intimate. Jesus, the bird talks about it, we're going to get a new heart. That's why we were given a new heart. We didn't want to have that heart, did we? So, as a Christian, you have a heart that wants to do right, that wants to walk right. Well, what I was doing was this. I had done things wrong on the outside. I had missed it with God. I had missed it on a number of things. I got myself over into condemnation because I was saying stuff like this. My heart ain't right. Well, what I was doing, actually, I was lying. That was not true. My heart was right. My thinking was wrong. And my flesh was dominating me. And thank God, the Spirit of the Lord in a supernatural way spoke to me. I just went after it and talking to him. And he corrected me on the things he's really telling me. Because what I was doing, I was speaking against myself, my own heart. I was talking against my own heart. I was causing my problem, saying basically, calling myself evil when I wasn't. See, it's getting on the inside and see, seeing yourself. Like lots of times what people see and what we do on the outside, we have to be careful with people thinking what people are. Sometimes people are fine on the inside from the standpoint of their spirit. On the outside, they're messed up in their mind and they're messed up in their flesh following things. And is understanding that. And in people come along and keep trying to deal with them from the outside. And that isn't what's going to be that's going to solve the problem. Solving the problem is getting correct on the in the inside, finding out what the inside is doing and what the inside. And the Lord spoke to me about that scripture and used that. And because when he made the statement to him, he said, you love me with all your heart. Well, I just, well. And he was right, I did. There was nothing wrong with my heart. I wasn't dealing with a heart problem. I was dealing with my mind thinking the wrong thoughts and dealing with flesh that wasn't brought under control. So, but once I understood what was on the inside of me, what I was doing, when I was joining all three together and saying, man, you know, I'm just a wrong person. No, well, that's born again. My heart was right. My heart wanted to follow God. My heart wanted to walk with God. Many people are right. They want to follow God. They're unrenewed minds, and everybody has them dealing with what's wrong with them is, you know, what's on the outside. No, get him in contact, people in contact with the inner man. You can start to correct problems. You can't correct them. The Lord didn't use what I was doing on the outside to correct me. He used what was going on in the inside of me to correct me. And he told me to never do that again. He told me, you don't talk against your heart. You're born again. Your heart's right. Quit talking against your heart. Don't do that. Say, oh, yeah. You know what? I got over it. Because why? The heart's the real you. For you to say, you know, that's like, you know, you go outside your house and, you know, it needs painted or needs siding and maybe boards are falling off and going outside and say, you know what? I'm just falling apart. No, you're not. It's the house. Now, people say that's crazy. Yet, that's the way the church preaches. The church looks at the outside and says, you know what? You're no good. Now, there's some people who might not be because their inside nature's never been changed. But you as a Christian, your inside nature has changed. And this is why going to victory, you have to operate in the principles of faith. Therefore, you're going to have to examine yourself by the inner man and not by the outer man. That's where the changes come from. That's where it comes. And you know, and understand this, it's a process. It's not something you just instantly change things, but you learn. It's one of the things. Using the principle of the faith is one of the things. If you can't correct what you're saying, it's a good chance you're not going to correct the problem. People say, you know what, I can't control my eating, I can't control this, I can't control that. People will just say what they can't control, they'll just keep, and then say, you know what, I'll tell you, I want to change this. hold it. It's the principle of faith. It's number one. They don't believe that they can do it, is number one, is because they're not come in contact with the inner man. The inner man saying, yeah, we can change this. But people are speaking, their voice isn't connected to what's on the inside. many people believe that if you speak other than what you see on the outside, it's a lie. And they don't realize what many times people are walking around lying and saying. It's just like the Lord dealt with me. I was lying about me. The real me, the real Ed Gibson, wanted to change, wanted to walk right, wanted to do right. And he told me, you know, I was basically lying. I'm criticizing the inner man like he's the outer man. You know, I'm just no good. See, and people don't realize. If the Bible says something's true, it's true. I don't care if the outside it don't look like it's true. To speak what the outside says is a lie if the inside is saying different. It's a lie. And then I learned to say what's on the inside. You know, when I started saying, you know, Lord, I love you with all my heart, instead of my heart ain't right towards you. Man, that started to change everything. I mean, I'll tell you what, you can't have peace if you think you're not right toward God. Your heart ain't right toward God. What do you do if your heart ain't right toward God? What do you, you know? And when I started saying the right thing, I'm going to tell you what, started changing it a lot. Man, my voice was holding me. It wasn't what I was doing was holding me in captivity. My voice was holding me in the captivity. My voice was. Man, I was criticizing myself and running me down and expecting to feel better. Well, that wasn't going to happen. No way. So the Lord wanted me to get over there. In other words, what he did is he just simply took me back to the principle of faith. That's what he did. That I began. In other words, if I want to see whatever I'm facing in my life change, I had to get over and start operating out of the inner man. And started doing that, saying what's on the inside, speaking. And so really, that is the foundation of change. That's where it has to come from. And so I want you need to get a hold of that. People, that's one of the big things. Many Christians, all the times that I've heard Christians make statements that their heart wasn't right, just like this one individual, he said, my heart's not right. And I started explaining to him, hold it. I said, if your heart wasn't right toward God, why would you feel any condemnation about doing wrong? You'd want to keep doing it because you'd be following your heart. Why do you feel criticized? The reason you feel criticized is because your inner man is saying, I don't want to go this direction. We shouldn't be going this direction. See, this is the battle I was fighting. The battle I was fighting, and here's all these people turn around and say, well, God's condemned me for doing this or that. No, he didn't. He didn't condemn you for that. That's your own human spirit saying, knock it off. You ain't supposed to be doing it. We need to understand, we've been given the most glorious thing inside of us was our human spirit change, because our human spirit voice is our conscience and will turn around and tell us, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. That is a wonderful guy. That's a wonderful guy. It isn't God declaring. It doesn't mean that your heart's not right, and that's what most people, God's telling me I'm doing wrong. No, it isn't. It's my spirit. The real me says, don't let your flesh do that. Don't let your mind think them thoughts. Don't let it get away with that. And what people have done is the church has taught people to use it to criticize themselves. Instead of use it, because the church believes there's a little devil sitting on this side, a little angel sitting on this side. They believe that nonsense. They watched all them cartoons. And they believe that's what's going on there. And no, it isn't. It's your own human spirit. Your own human spirit will speak to you. And see, this is why. Is if your heart's not right, you'll go ahead and sin, won't feel bad about it at all. Your conscience is why you feel bad when you do it. You wouldn't seek after God to change if your heart didn't want to change. Think about it. It doesn't even make sense that people do it. The whole thing is my problem. What I was in condemnation. I'm speaking against my heart. My heart's trying to tell me, you're after God. Me, I'm talking against my heart all the time. Thinking my heart's bad. And my heart's like, you ain't doing the right thing, Ed. You ain't doing the right thing. God wasn't condemning when he told me about it. He corrected me on it, of why it was going on. I was speaking against my own spirit. My own conscience is trying to tell me, knock it off. And I think my own conscience is trying to criticize me. But what it's trying to do is tell me, stop doing this. Quit talking about me. I'm the guy that loves God, remember? And you're saying I don't. And your mind and your body are idiots. and they were right. But thank God he corrected me on that. And so be very careful of what you say about yourself and you speak against your own heart. No, because I hear it's over the years, I've had to come many times, as people, you know, your heart's always to do iniquity and stuff. People say, I hear, oh my God. I mean, I hear preachers preach that to their congregation. I've turned on the TV and had ministers say that stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, it just grieves me terrible. I hear them say that. I said, you just told all them born-again people they ain't right with God. They're children of God. Kenneth Hagin said, you never preach to saints like they're sinners. You may have to correct them about things they're doing wrong, but they're saints of God. You know, Paul wrote into the things that Christians should do, and he had to correct churches on things and stuff, and he corrected them. But he never dealt with them like they weren't saints. He'd say, this ain't the stuff that we do. This is what the world does. We don't do that, okay? He didn't tell them, well, you're a bunch of unsaved, bunch of buzzards. You're all going to hell, and you know it. So, don't be one of those that preaches to yourself wrong, okay? Don't do that. Preach to yourself good. And that's why the use of faith. Now, when the use of faith, you're going to have to remember this principle called patience. And learn to do that. Patience just isn't toward other people. One of the biggest problems I had is I didn't have patience toward myself. I didn't have patience to develop. I didn't have patience for growing up. Spiritually, I thought I should just go, I should be like Kenneth Hagin after a couple years. You know what, that's normal. That's just natural with children. You know, Braden don't do it as much as he used to. But Braden, when he was little, he tried to do with things that Paul did in no way. And he would get so frustrated. He just thought he should be able to do it. And it'd frustrate him terrible. And I did, Braden, that's okay. Nothing's wrong with you. But he would just get frustrated over trying to do what Paw did. And you see that. Well, this me is I, you know, Kenneth Hagin was a spiritual father in me, and I'd read and look at the things that he did and walked in, and I would try to do it and did real well. It fall on my face a lot of times. And so and I'd get impatient. Now, in Galatians, the 6th chapter says, and let us not, the 6th chapter, verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary while doing good. In other words, you're over here doing the right thing. Sometimes it don't look like payoff. And what happens is you get over there and you get impatient. What's wrong with me? He said, for in due season you shall reap if you don't lose heart. What did he say? You don't lose heart. Did he say if you don't lose your mind? Or your flesh gets crazy? Don't lose heart. It's about what's in the inside. See, you don't want to discourage your own heart. That's one of the things I was doing by what I was saying was discouraging my own heart. I would just discourage my own heart by what I was doing. And you know what? I couldn't move forward in my faith life. I couldn't move forward because I was bringing discouragement to my own heart. It's, you know, you just keep doing the right things. I found out there was things like today that I can do very easily spiritually. Boy, that years ago that I couldn't. And it would take me time of sitting. I had to learn that, to be patient, to learn to develop in things to be able to do it well spiritually. And today, because of that, but you have to learn patience. There's things today require a lot of patience for me to do. And you got to work through that and understand that. That's a big part of the facts of faith. So many people, they want to come into the kingdom and have everything. You know, like Mike was teaching on the grounds, you know, you had 4 different kinds of ground. 3 type of people don't stand. In other words, you know what their big problem is? Is their patience. They get weary and doing right. They let other distractions come in. They let other things come along. And what happens is this, there's only one group that produces the fruit or gets it. And you know what? The group that gets it, this is what happens. It usually takes them longer. And these other people drop out. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this and different other ministers saying in their teaching how they said they saw people do things that, boy, they were right on the border of seeing the victory of what they wanted and they quit. Man, I have been there. I can talk to you from experience where I had dropped out. Then I had to go back and pick up all over. Go back, started off, and got back on and got my victory. But I know what it is. You're right at the verge of your victory. That was a good encouraging word I got on Sunday from from the thing of Darlene when she at the end when she spoke about, you know, the breakthrough for us this, you know, this coming year coming up, because there's some things that I know you stand and you'd like to see happen. And some things, you know, it is not as much comfortable to stand in and watch in some things, but you got to stand. And I know that I'm at the point of the victory. I know that it'd be a dumb thing for me to back off now. It's got to be patient and saying the right stick, believing the right thing, saying the right stuff. I know it's there. And when she said it was just a good encouragement, hey, just hang in there. You're at the right spot. You're doing the right thing. Just stay with it. Well, and understand that with yourself. That's why you got to be in contact with your inner man. Your inner man knows that. But see, if you get caught out of looking at what's going on around to see if you thought it was working, and you get over into things and, boy, I've been doing this and it ain't been seeing. You know, I've been standing and believing God, and I've been standing quoting the word, and I've been saying, boy, and I tell you what, every time I see the situation, it don't look no better, and it's just, you could go there, I tell you what, to understand this. You know, one of the things of it is, if you start saying anything wrong about it, You'll find an echoing voice, because there probably will be a demonic spirit to join in the choir and tell you, yeah, what are you doing, you idiot? Why are you bothering? This ain't thing ain't working. You ain't got no faith. You just been blowing wind. You know that? He might even get another person to come and join in with you. You didn't believe in God all this time, and it sure ain't working. You know, it's a funny thing. I never often thought about it, because my oldest sister, before she had died, when the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to bring your whole family in. You know, I have never prayed about that one leg. I have not prayed. I've talked to the Lord about it, and thanked the Lord for doing that many times. I appreciate you doing that, Lord. But, you know, it's just like when my sister was dying, it was like, I got over the thing and I refused to pray for it, because I thought, you know, you get out all these years and she gets older and older and now she's dying and she still ain't accepted Jesus. You know? And she's on her way to hell. And the Lord spoke this, but you know, God didn't tell me he was going to bring her in and she was going to live for Jesus for so many years. It come down to the wire, but you know, you come down to the patience things. And I say, Lord, that's my other brother called. He's a Christian, and he called me and said, Helen's dying and she won't listen to anybody talking about the Lord and all that stuff. And I said to him, don't worry about it. I said, he asked me to pray. I said, I ain't going to pray about it. I said, we don't need to pray about it. I said, she can't leave this earth. If she does, God lied to me. I know I heard what he said to me. He lied. If I have to pray now to make this thing work, then it wasn't him. It was me. I didn't promise me that. You know, God promised David that he'd have a guy sitting on the throne. David didn't have to pray to make that work. That was God's promise. God said he was going to do that. You know what? God gave David somebody sitting on the throne all the time, even if they were heathens. Because God said he was going to do it. God had heathens sitting on the throne. Some of them didn't follow God at all. But he told them there's always going to be somebody from your lineage. Now, it all worked out to what God wanted to do, is under David's lineage, he brought the Messiah. He did all that not because any of those guys were good in between there. He bought that across because he made a promise to David. That's why with Israel, God's made promise to the nations of Israel. And people sit down and they think, well, you know, Israel getting right with God. Israel don't have to get right with God for God to bring the promises past. God promised it whether or not they'd do it or not. He didn't say. The Lord said this. He wasn't going to do it for their sake. He said, I'm going to do it for my name's sake. I'm doing it because I want to. This is one of the things that I just encourage people to follow God and live out of your spirit, because if you do, God will make covenant with you on things. He'll talk to you personally about things about you personally, tell you what to do. He's going to do. Just like with my family. That was a covenant he made with me. I'm going to do this for you because you obeyed me and did this now. You did what I said. This is what I'm going to do for you. He said, I'm going to bring your whole family in. Now I got my next oldest in our family is a sister, and she's saved. And then the next one down is a brother, and he's not saved. And he's up there in years, crazy. I mean, he ain't ever had nothing to do with God and following, walking with God. But you know what? I think about him, I just start out to smile. I don't know how this is going to work out. But because he's sort of always been a bit of a black sheep of the family, like And I don't mean because anybody worked against him. It's like he works against himself. Do you ever have one of those around? Anywho, but God's going to bring it to pass. That's what he's going to do. He can't lie. This is what he is. It's amazing. His wife died years ago with cancer. But she came to the Lord and she was saved and everything else. But he didn't respond to God. He didn't do it. He didn't respond to God. He just kept following his own life. But hallelujah. He'll come in. Why? Because God said so. And that's why we're talking about this living out of the inside. You got to learn to stand patiently on things. God promised, just like you look in the Word, if God said he would do something, and you believe it, it's true in your heart, and you've said it with your mouth, and you've received it as being true, just stand with it. Don't move off of it. Refuse to move off of it. Just make your stand. Be patient. Why? Because in due season, you will reap. He said, you're going to reap if you don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't get it. Just stay with that thing. Sometimes it don't look like it's meant, you know. It don't look like at all it's going to happen. But he said it. It'll happen. He said it. And especially, we go to the Word. We have it written down in the Word is what he will do. And you just make that stand on that. Just stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just stay with it. Don't move off of it. In Romans 2:7 says, makes this, and we're sort of cutting in a verse and someone said, but we want to, it says, talks about eternal life to those who, by patient continuance, in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So, or eternal life, what? To those who, by patient continuance, in other words, continuing, what do they do? You're doing is seeking good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. See, there's people come along, even from our salvation standpoint, from being saved, people get over it, in life. I watch people just slowly fade out as Christians because they don't stand. Look, the whole thing, our eternal life, we're shooting glory and honor and immortality. That's the end of our goal. You see, that's one of the things that's keeping that. That's when I've been emphasizing the last couple Sundays and I talked about, the full redemption. The church has lost that. That's why people ain't standing. They lost the end of the goal. The glory, the honor, and immortality. Man, I want that immortal body, don't you? Man. And understand this. This is important that we have the immortal body because the immortal body can live in both realms. It can live in the realm of the spirit and the realm of the physical. It can live in both. That's why when you die and they bury your body, it has to go off into the spirit realm. It goes to heaven because it can't stay over in this side of the physical. Because in the physical side, it requires physical body to manifest through. That's why demons want to come over and possess people because they want a body to manifest itself through. That's why demons work so hard on individuals. God's the same way. That's why he put the Holy Spirit in us. He wants to manifest. If the Holy Spirit, God can do whatever he wants. I love what people say, well, God do whatever he wants. Well, then what's he doing parked in me? He can do whatever he wants. Well, why is he parked in me? He reason God's in me because he wants to manifest himself through me and into the earth. And he can only do it through bodies. And that's why he's in you, is to manifest himself. And stay, that's why, it's believing those right things. You know, this is what we're shooting for with patience. Stay over in the area, believing right. Boy, thinking right. Get over the area. We could do a lot of teaching on the areas of being patient. And in that area, that's a huge, important thing. That's one of the things is people, lose patience. Even when people want to change things about their body and change things about their life. What happens is people will usually stay with something for a while. Randy Greer said, and really studies have proved it out, that most people will stay with something for about 90 days, and then they'll change. They won't go with it. Usually up to that time, then things will start going south. They'll start, why? Because people, they don't stay with it, the patience to do, because why? It's exciting. It's sort of like a diet. People love losing those pounds and that stuff, but all of a sudden, then, over time, and they don't see the things they want to see, and then over the time they'll start to lose. You know, of course, losing, it's face the fact. If you have a bunch of weight to lose, it is the easiest thing to lose 10 pounds. That don't take nothing. But when you start getting down at their beginning, the weight loss goes quick, but then it starts working to every one of those pounds after that. It does. No, but, and understand it. But when a person does what they go through and what they deal with, because it does become harder. And so usually when people are seeing really good results, they just all excited. But as soon as the results are not that quick, and you'll go through weeks where you don't even see it move, your weight don't even change. Yet you're doing the right things. You're doing right stuff. You're doing things. You're walking right, doing right. And you don't see it. And what happens? Well, this ain't working. Ever been there, anybody? What happens is you quit getting weary and well-doing. And you're doing the right thing, but then something does seem to be changing, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, you know, this isn't working, and you start going against yourself. And so you want to get over there. Just stay in that right thing. Continue to do those right things. Is continuing with patience to do the right stuff, continue to do it. Listen on the inside. Listen to your spirit. You know, God might show you something or something, or you know, might come up that you maybe can do to help. Lots of times it's just staying with the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, just stay with it and keep walking in it. You know, don't get into kind of extremes, and that's where people do it. You know, like people, I'm just going to eat salads all the time, and you know, sounds wonderful, great. You lose some weight and that stuff and eating salads, but after a while, you want to eat that dish, man. Tired of the salad, man. I've had as many salads as I want. No, you don't want no more. Get that heifer over here and let's eat it. But see, you know what happens? See, you get over it and you get those extremes. After a while, you can't. And I can't do this. I can't do that. And so it wears on you after a while. It just, it's not good. And these people go over there and do that stuff, and they just keep eating like that. They keep doing it. After a while, they're in depression, not getting enough protein in their body. They start getting into depression because they don't. And it's depression's coming because of what they're doing physically. Not getting enough protein in their body, so they're starting depression. And see, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have too many pounds and not be in depression than be weigh 75 pounds and be depressed. I'll tell you what. You know, because we've done in the church world, I've watched this. This started back years ago. They got into a lot of this diet stuff, and what they did is they tied diet to spirituality. You know, if I'm skinny, then I can be spiritual, and somebody that isn't skinny ain't going to be spiritual. Well, Brother Hagin had a few pounds on him. And he's more spiritual than Ed. He had more pounds on him than Ed got. So, I've learned this over time. My spirituality does not depend on my weight. Now, people get out too far where they don't control their flesh about anything. It's going to cause you problems. But you know, we have this weird stuff going on out here. You know, God can only use pretty people. We got that stuff in the church world. They have to fit. You have to fit within this mold. And you know what? Those people you don't want to listen to because they got wrong spirits. They're believing wrong things. You know, it's just like people there for around the 90s. They were doing all this. It's like one minister that I know. In fact, she taught at Rhema when I was there. But she made mention some years ago. She said out in Tulsa, they measure your spirituality by how much money you got. Now, well, you're doing it. They're measuring. You know, said they're doing that. And see, people got into those extremes. See, if a person wasn't prospering like they thought, you know, you're going to drive around a Mercedes. You know, most people don't want a Mercedes. Even they can own it. I can afford a Mercedes. I don't want one. I really don't have one. I can buy one if I want it. Ain't a matter. See, there's people there. You got to win by this status. They don't realize that they're carnal. They think they're spiritual. So you can get over and doing things. See, why do you have what you have or want what you want? What are you doing it for? say, what do you, you know, do I want to, what do I want, am I trying to do, if I want to lose weight to impress other people, do I want other people, if I do, they'll like me better. And then you get over the thing. What happens? You end up a people pleaser. You end up over in the wrong, the whole point of it's wrong what you're doing. And you end up, the whole thing's people controlling you. You know? So, well, I want to lose weight so I can get in a bikini. Why? So you can show somebody your body. See, make people think you're something. You're sexy. Is that what we're doing? See, that's all wrong. That's all wrong stuff. It's not going to be sexy or act look. Well, they really think I'm cool if I lose weight. I'm sorry, I got over that a long time ago. They don't think I'm cool. If I lose weight, it's just, that's an old guy lost weight there. It's why do I want to do it? What's the purpose? And see, finding right purpose in what we're doing, and that's our ties into faith and patience and all that stuff, because it'll help you if your purposes are right. Or if I'm doing it trying to keep people happy, should I tell you this, you ain't going to keep people happy. You do everything right, they'll haul you to Calvary and nail you, bud. Don't worry about it. So, I mean, just think about the right things. Just keep yourself over in the right areas of doing stuff. The purposes of what you want to do. I often thought about, and Kenneth Hagin said he was ministering with a minister one time. They were in a healing line, and him and this minister were ministering healing to people. And he said, this minister said, he never said who the guy was or whatever, but he said this minister, a young woman, come up, and she wanted prayer for healing in her arm. And he just turned around and see, sometimes it's the Holy Ghost will have you. Sometimes I've done this already in healing lines. I've ministered along with people. And I've, you know, say there's 20 people, 30 people. You lay hands on a person, and Lord really don't say anything other than you just pray over them. And you come to a person, and all of a sudden, Lord will have you ask them something. You know, and just, that's just the way it is. And he stopped and he said to her, they're moving down the line praying people. And he stops and he said to her, well, why do you want to be healed? She said, so I can play tennis. And he said, you got the wrong reason for wanting to be healed. He said, you need to want to be healed to serve God. And see, you know, there's a lot today people think, well, she likes to play tennis, God's interested. No, hold it. We have to have the right motives. See, many people, and I've watched this, whether it's money or whatever it is, people use their health so they can go and do more fleshly stuff. I want to be healed so I can live more fleshly. I will guarantee you, I'll guarantee you concerning her. God would have never had him ask that question if God wasn't dealing with her, flesh, because I'll guarantee you, she wasn't walking with God. She wasn't walking. And I tell you, I watch people get all upset over that kind of stuff. Say, oh, that minister, he did this and he did that. It wasn't that minister, that was God. And you just knocked what God did. Make sure my motive's right of what I want to do. Why do I want to do it? Do I want to serve God with my life? Or is it this, I want to be well, I want to have money so I can do what I want, you know, and just follow my life. I learned getting money and getting God involved in things and in healing, when you're doing it for the right purpose, it's amazing how things change about how things work. You know, God would never mind somebody playing tennis if they wanted to play tennis. But I guarantee you, she had a problem. And see, there's different reasons why things don't work for people or they do. That's why don't throw yourself in a box and say, well, you know, this. Just make sure that your motives are right. You want to develop. You want to follow and live for God. That's your purposes. If you do, I'm going to tell you what you're going to find. That doesn't mean we can't, like I said, don't mean you can't play tennis, dear Lord. Though you might be a pro at it. That there's fine. But you know, if you take the thing, I want to be a pro before I want to follow God. You know, Kenneth Hagin used the story of a woman who was dying and before her time. And she was a grandmother, but she was dying years before her time. She had cancer. And they had, him and another minister had went and prayed for her and stuff. And he said, this woman, he thought was one of the most spiritual women that, you know, he said this, he thought she was a really spiritual lady in this church, and she was. And I bet in many ways she probably was very spiritual. But she had a problem. She was dying of cancer. And if you don't know, sometimes if a person don't tell you or God don't tell you, sometimes you don't know. And just things were not working concerning this woman. And they went, I guess, at the end of the hospital to pray for her. She was down with cancer. And they said, they went to pray, and she said, She was older than they were younger, and she said, "Oh, boys, don't bother praying for me." She said, "I'm not going to live anyhow." And they automatically jumped over Brother Hagin and them into the faith thing. And, "Well, now, don't say it wrong." She said, "No," she said, "you don't understand." She said, "When I was a young girl, God called me to the mission field." And she said, I knew I was called to go on the mission field. And she said, "I wanted to have a family and I wanted to do this." She said, "I thought I couldn't have a family and I couldn't have stuff if I listened to God and went on the mission field." And she said, "I chose the life that I wanted." And she said, "Now I have to live with what I did." She said, "I ain't getting healed." She said, "I had my family and I had my grandkids." And she said, "I'm going home." See, that's what I see. People don't know. People don't understand. You don't know sometimes a person was called to do something and disobeyed and didn't follow it. So disobedience does, you know. She wanted a certain thing. It's just like, I don't know, that girl playing tennis may have been very good at tennis, but God called her to do something else. See, we don't know with people, unless God says so. But this I do know, just from what they said, I know enough about God to know that that wasn't just some minister saying something there. God's trying to reach that girl. She's heading the wrong direction. And I'll guarantee her arm didn't get healed if she didn't change directions. I know. I've walked this thing long enough and know enough about what's going on to know that. And this is why, as we get over using our faith, there's good sides or bad sides. But I'm the one thing, if you have a, and that doesn't mean you're doing everything perfect. Ain't nobody does everything perfect. That's why we have faith. You did everything perfect, you wouldn't need no faith. We have faith because of, you know, walking with God and that stuff. We're perfect before God by our faith and not by our complete actions and that stuff. But, you know, somebody who gets over in the areas of disobedience for a long time, and lots of times we don't realize that people do, that they're, like that woman, she lived all those years in disobedience. Never fulfilled it. I know a woman God called the mission field. She married a guy because, well, he had money to take good care of her in her life. Things ain't worked out good. I mean, she even told me. She was called. She's called to China. Then she lives in Hershey. There's things that she'll never get, God can't ever do for her and can't ever take care of. There's things she can't. She has health problems and things and stuff, and it ain't going to ever get fixed. You can't live in disobedience to that, you know. You know, not everybody's called to go to China, and not everybody's called to this and that, but whatever God's called us to do, and especially, you know, is walking. So we want to walk in those things and want our faith to work. We're children of God. I ain't saying anything to discourage anybody, but it's all part of what we deal with, is dealing with our inner man. Learning to say the right things. I don't know how sometimes God's going to do stuff. There's things the Lord spoke to me that I would do here in the last days I have not done yet. But he told me, you just keep believing that you're going to do that. You keep saying you're going to do that and keep heading in that direction. Don't, you know, you don't change, even though in all these years. In fact, I was born again less than a year when he told me about that for the first time, told me about some things I would do. There's a few years have passed. And he says, you just keep palking and saying. And it's funny. Here I go down all these years along the road. He said some things here and there about that. And Mike touched on it on Sunday when Mike spoke at the end of me. Just, you know, every once in a while he'll say something just to keep me heading in a direction. You just keep going in that direction. You just keep, it'll come to pass. It'll come. Well, I can't bring it to pass, but it is something he wants me to do. I've thought about it many times. You know, some things sound really neat to do when you're going around, but the more I've learned about people and doing stuff, I think, and I can understand why Brother Hagin, you know, the Lord called him to heal. And everybody think that's awesome. He went up, Jesus touched his hands, and he got an anointing in his hands, you know. He said it was like coals of fire laid in his hands and that stuff. And the Lord told him, you go tell people that you saw me, and if they'll believe you saw me and I gave you this anointing, if they'll believe that, when you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. He said, you tell them, you saw me. I put my fingers in the palms of your hands and gave you an anointing. And if they'll believe that you saw me and I did that, they'll be healed. Wow, that really sounds cool and neat, don't it? Until he started doing it, got more persecution a little bit. Who's this guy? I think Jesus saw him. And then, so as time's going on, and I know how people are, Ed doesn't know if this is going to be so much fun. I know how people are. You know, I think somebody saw Jesus. And Brother Hagin said this. I mean, he said, it absolutely worked. He said, anybody that would believe that that happened, he said, a touch of may be healed. He said it worked. But he got so much hassle out of that that he quit doing it. And that was one of his visitations where Jesus called him on it and said, what are you going to do about that healing anointed? He said, I didn't plan on doing anything about it. That's what he said to the Lord. I said, man. And Jesus said to him, who anointed you? Me or them? And basically, he sort of said to him, you're in big trouble if you don't. And he said, change my mind. I better go back and do this stuff. Sometimes it's hard to deal with people, but I found out sometimes it may be harder to deal with God by not doing it. But you understand this. Just you get this right. In the ministry, the gifts that operate in me, and like I learned over time, the gifts that operate in Brother Hagin, God dealt with was so stern on with them about things because of the position he stood in the things that God revealed to him that he knew. It's just like myself. There's things God will demand of me that he ain't going to demand to other people. Because the things have been revealed to me, and I know and I understand he's going to deal with me more harshly than he is with somebody that hasn't been revealed to them. That doesn't stand in the office. That doesn't, you know, he's not going to. Not going to do that. And, I mean, we all want to do right, but God will deal with all of us according to the knowledge that we have and what we do. You know, I had to learn if I'm not standing in Brother Hagin's office. I mean, just think about Brother Hagin. All Brother Hagin did was put the teaching gift before the prophetic gift. And he ended up having a fall, dislocated his elbow, and Jesus sat down for 2 hours in a hospital, walked in the door at open vision. And in the open vision, Jesus picked up a chair in the corner of the room and carried it over and set it down and sat down in the chair. See, not all visions are, I've never had an open vision. An open vision is the highest level. An open vision takes place. It's just like Jesus had come walking in that door. That door would open. He would walk in. Never had one of those. I've had visions where I've seen things and that stuff in the spirit, but I've not had one of those. And the Lord told him, because he was putting his teaching ministry before his prophetic ministry, that he would only live to be 55 years old, he had died. Now, that wasn't for everybody in the body of Christ. But you know what? If you look back over the years, the revelation and all that Jesus revealed to him up to the time of that happened, God demanded a lot out of him because all those visitations, all those things he was taught, trained in, the Lord specifically spoke to, he expected him to walk in the light of those things. That was the demand. You have to walk in there. Jesus wasn't going to kill him. The devil was. The devil would have been able to get him. That's why he had the fall he had. Dislocated his elbow. It was because of that. He was in disobedience. And the Lord said to him, if I wouldn't allow this to happen to you, he said, I didn't do it. He told him in the car, he said, I didn't do this to you. Jesus told him, sit in the hospital. I didn't do this to you. He said, the devil did it to you. And he said, I let him. And he said, the reason I let him, you'd have never lived past 55 years old if I wouldn't have let him do this. And we wouldn't be sitting here talking right now. He said, you'd never live past 55 years old. Wow. Okay. Can we change the subject here, please? but understand, that was because of him. We can't put that, see, you get over into those things wrong. And there's the things that he taught on and he talked about. But it's the position and the place you're in. You walk by faith. Live out of your inner man. Listen to what your inner man's telling you. Walk in the light. If you walk in the light of what's inside of you, you'll have success. That's what you do. See, Brother Hagin got in trouble, just like I've gotten in trouble, because I didn't walk on what's in the inside of me. But God didn't turn around and try to... What God will always try to do is to get you in line with what's inside of you to do. He didn't throw Brother Hagin out and say, well, look, we're just going to kill you anyway. That's it. I'm just fed up. You're done. He went to a lot of trouble. You realize that Kenneth Hagin Ministries, we at Rhema, would never existed or any of that kind of stuff would ever happen if he had died back that time. So, thank God. Hallelujah. God's gracious. And he will be to you. But just don't get weary and well-doing. Just keep doing the right things. Be patient. Hallelujah. The things will come to pass as God has said. If he's put his promise in his word, it'll work for you. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you in teaching us these things. And Lord God, there's many things that, Lord God, we need to really be sober about. But Lord God, we do want to be in submission to you, spirit, soul, and body, not just partially. We do, that's our desire, but we know, Lord God, it does require training. It requires time. And thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity of change. And we just appreciate that so much. Lord God, you're having us instruct in these things and teach them because, Lord God, you sure haven't quit on us. What's the point of teaching us if you've already quit? You haven't. And thank you, Lord God, for these wonderful reminders of things in the Scriptures. Lord God, keep us in line so you can fulfill your plans and purposes and we can walk in the glory that you prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.